The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
I asked Delamitri. The reason we're playing Delamitri is because Justin Curry of Delamitri has written his memoir. And the memoir has, it's sort of a, not so much a memoir as a tour diary. So it goes through his touring experience and some of the highlights and lowlights. And there's an interesting fascination with food and a deeply worrying instance of a vegan Philly cheesesteak, which we may get to or we may not. But either way, it's very interesting tour diary. But in the midst of it, he's also talking about his Parkinson's diagnosis and his experience with Parkinson's. And there's one passage in the middle of the book that I think summarizes it neatly. He says, "And of course, all the time, the affliction chips away. Every few months, another simple thing becomes stupidly difficult. Tying my shoelaces, putting on my jacket, cufflinks are no longer a viable option. I dread buying new clothes, imagining the laughable wrestling that will ensue in the fitting room. What were once avenues are now obstacles, opportunities now impossible hurdles. The way ahead is strewn with indiscernible roadblocks. Simple actions, once so automatic, are now a challenge to be met with strategic thought. I faithfully pop my pills and wait for the little lift, but with each passing month, they lift a little lower." Justin Curry, good morning.
Good morning. I wish I'd got you to read the audiobook, actually. That's a much better performance than I turned in, let me tell you that.
I can't do the accent, Justin. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be true to the subject.
Who cares about the accent?
Come here. Will we talk about the Philly cheesesteak or will we talk about the Parkinson's? Where do you want to start?
I'm happy to talk about the cheesesteak.
The interest with food. You were a chef originally. Is that right?
I was a chef for a year, yeah. I went to uni for a year, which I hated because it was just like, I thought it was just like being at school. So then an ex-head chef, a friend of mine that I'd worked for when I was at school, said, "Look, would you like a job as a full-time chef?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to get out of university." But I wasn't really a proper chef. I was just flipping burgers. And I mean, I learned how to make sauces and soups and things. But yeah, that was the hardest job I've ever had until I had to read that audiobook the other week, which is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I now know why people like you are good at what you do and why you get paid for what you do, because reading a text out loud is impossible unless you know what you're doing.
How long did it take?
It took 2 days, but the second day it went over by about 4 hours. And by the end of it, me and the producer engineer were just exhausted. I mean, I couldn't get through a sentence without making a mistake, let alone a paragraph.
Did you find it cathartic? Because you say in the book that the writing of the book was a cathartic exercise. Was the reading of it cathartic?
That's an interesting question. Well, it was. I felt kind of proud of myself because there's a couple of passages that I thought I wouldn't be able to get through because they're quite close to the bone emotionally. So, I was quite proud of myself that I didn't crack up during those bits, but at the same time, deeply ashamed of myself that I just couldn't read out loud. I couldn't read out loud a text that I'd written, which you thought would be easy. I don't think the actual audiobook bit was cathartic, but writing it definitely, without being aware of it at the time, when I'd finished the book, I thought, God, I'm really glad that's kind of out of me. And I'm glad that now other people are being bored with what's going on round and round my head rather than myself every day.
The diagnosis, you describe how early on starts as a minor tremor. You begin to struggle to play certain instruments. Then you see it in the voice. Where has it progressed to now?
It's been quite stable recently. I mean, the odd thing about Parkinson's disease is that symptoms arrive that are quite difficult to deal with, but then, you know, 6 months later they go away. So occasionally you get, like 4 or 5 days where you don't really have any symptoms at all, apart from a bit of tremor when you're excited or stressed or something. And then you start getting really paranoid that maybe they've made a mistake and you've written this book about having Parkinson's and you're going to be unmasked as a fraud. And then, of course, the next week you find it difficult to walk to the shops. So, I mean, my main problem at the moment is tremor in my right hand. So that means if I'm woken up with an urgent email about something I've got to make a decision about there and then, it can be quite hard to use my phone. And, you know, odd things like some days it takes you 5 minutes just to, it's almost like you have to relearn how to walk properly because your hips seem to be out of sync with your knees or something. But, you know, I'm in what's called the honeymoon period of Parkinson's because it was caught quite early because it showed up in my guitar playing. But what I say is that if this is the honeymoon, I'm really not looking forward to the divorce because it's troubling enough as it is, you know.
Are you frightened by the progression?
No, because it's happening quite slowly. So you get time to get used to things and you evolve strategies for workarounds. So, for example, just purely in terms of playing with Delamitri, some of the songs I used to play acoustic guitar on, we've now shifted the guitar onto somebody else in the band and I'll just sing or I'll play bass because bass playing's much easier than guitar playing for me. So, no, I'm not frightened. I get frightened if I look too far into the future because everything is so unknown. But then you just reflect that, well, you know, at my age, the future's really uncertain anyway because, the one thing you can be sure of at the age of 60 is in the next 10 years, something bad's going to happen to you or somebody around you. So I'm really frightened, and that probably partly because I'm very good at denial and putting my head in the sand and just thinking about the next few months and not thinking about the next few years.
But presumably you must talk to the medics about what the next few years... I mean, sorry, I don't mean to dwell on it, but I always wonder with the diagnosis of something that you know is degenerative and that is fairly definite, how you don't end up in that vortex of consideration of the long haul.
I think because you learn to avoid it quite quickly because it is... it's unknown. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There is certainty that... you're on a decline, but the rate of that decline is so unknown. So I was kind of wrestling with the idea of going to speaking to my Parkinson's nurse. So in the UK, you when you've got Parkinson's, you see a Parkinson's nurse like every 3 or 4 months, and you'll see a neurologist every year. So they're kind of tracking how the disease is progressing. They ask you a questionnaire and that sort of stuff. So I was thinking about asking the Parkinson's nurse, okay, when am I going to have to stop driving? When I'm going to have to maybe think about moving house, when will I have to retire from performing? And then I realised they just won't know. They wouldn't be able to give you any firm guarantee or not that, you know, oh yes, you'll be able to drive in a year. They don't know that, you know, because I might get in a car in a year and think, I'm not sure if I can do this. So once you realise it's all uncertain, there's kind of no point in thinking too far ahead. So all I like to do is know I've got a gig in the diary in about 6 months and I can be pretty sure that the condition I'm in today, that I can turn up and do that gig with some degree of confidence. So I'm kind of living in a window of 6 month periods, and that seems to work fine for me. Again, I'm sure other Parkinson's sufferers will have different strategies for this. But I like just living in that small space of time where I can be pretty sure that I can do everything I want to do.
One of the things when somebody has a diagnosis that is public, there is usually people who bump into them. There's a struggle of what do you say? There's a piece in the book where you give a lovely answer and a recommendation to that, where you say a few people come up to say hello. One guy says, I heard about your disease. I wish you all the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... People have, and in general, people are very sweet. I mean, the one thing that's slightly hard to deal with, and I've done this myself, actually, is when people come up and say, oh, I'm really sorry about your diagnosis. You know, yeah, my uncle had that or my dad had that. And then you sort of think, well, I don't really want to ask how bad they got because then I'm going to start getting a bit scared and you're going to start getting upset. But I mean, on the whole, people say very appropriate and sympathetic things that just make you, you know, you feel like you're having a better day because somebody's crossed the street and said, look, I'm really sorry. And yeah, you know, goodbye and good luck does me fine.
That happy, pragmatic optimism or sanguinity anyway is throughout the entire book. It is called The Tremolo Diaries, and it's both the Parkinson's isn't the, by any means the totality. It's not even the main focus. It is a tour diary and a lovely insight into the experience of touring. This brings us full circle to where we started, Justin, which is I do not for a second believe that a vegan Philly cheesesteak can function as anything worth eating. Explain yourself.
I've found this unbelievable vegan restaurant quite near one of the shows we were doing with Bare Naked Ladies. And everywhere there were these signs that said, you know, plant-based food, everything's plant-based. So I went up to the counter and asked the woman behind the counter, look, what do you recommend? And she said, well, I really recommend the Carolina burger. So I said, well, give me the Carolina burger. Give me the best of your vegan menu. And it was kind of reassuringly expensive. It was like the best part of $20, which God is extortionate. Harsh. Extortionate beans. For fast food. Well, I don't think beans were involved. There was some kind of alchemy going on because this was the best meat I'd ever tasted. I thought that I was actually looking around the back to find where the cows were coming in. You know.
I was so
excited by how good this food was that I went back for dinner. So I had lunch and dinner there. And then I started going online to see if I could somehow invest in this miraculous company. But if anybody's in the Carolinas and they're a vegan and they want the best burger ever made, I strongly recommend Mike's. I think they've got about 4 or 5 outlets in the Carolinas.
Justin, thank you very much for coming on. The book is very enjoyable. It is The Tremolo Diaries. That is Justin Curry. And obviously, Justin continues to tour and play. So if you are interested, lob his name into Google and you can find out where he is going to be.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.